It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Had one of our favorite people in the whole wide world here on the Sports Objective, and that is Terry Gallagher, our correspondent down at the Senior Bowl this week, Mobile, Alabama. Terry, man, thank you so much for coming back on with us.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me, as always. I enjoy talking ECU football, but I also like talking football in general, so this has been a fun week.
Did you get a discount, Terry?
Now, y'all will be like me one day, so you better watch out.
I'm closer to him than college.
No, it's what they do. It's been going on for, I can't tell you exactly how long, but it's going on 60 or so years. They've had it in Mobile for most of those years, and it's a pretty big event for the town, pretty big money maker, because, of course, you get all the you get the top seniors from around the country that are going into the NFL draft this coming spring. And then you also have they've started letting if a junior has finished with their coursework and could graduate, then they're planning to go into the NFL, then they can be in it too. So you do have you got about a dozen juniors in it this year, which is a change. And it's not just for Division I. Some people get the opinion that players, unless they go to certain schools, they can't play in the NFL, and that's so far from the truth. It's almost funny that people believe that, because if you are a talented player and you have the qualifications or whatever it takes to make it at the next level, they will find you. And I'll tell y'all shortly here some of the schools represented. But it's quite an event. Coaches from the NFL coach the teams. This year you have the Oakland Raiders staff coaching the North team. That's John Gruden and his guys. And then you have the 49ers are coaching the South team, and that's Kyle Shanahan and his guys.
Oh, wow. So you have a Bay Area coach is coaching the Senior Bowl.
I had not even thought about that, but you're right. And, of course, by coaching the teams, it gives those teams a bit of an advantage on the upcoming draft, because they will actually draft some of the guys that they're coaching this week. So it's a big event for not just the players, but for the coaches. And then on the first 3 days of the event, it's mainly NFL coaches, scouts, general managers, some team owners, etc., from the NFL. And, of course, the CFL is also represented down here, Canadian Football League. And so it's I call it a full-pad combine. Because when they get to the combine that's coming up, in February, it's only in shorts, and they just do various drills, which I'm not one who particularly cares about their 40 speed as much as I care about their football speed. So you get to see that.
That's going to be on the NFL Network at 2:30 tomorrow, Saturday, right?
Yes, 2:30 Eastern time. We're on Central time, so when I get back to Georgia, I'm going to lose an hour there. But
You mentioned, Terry, you mentioned the NFL, CFL having some representatives down there. Yeah, I'm curious, the new league, the Alliance of American Football, they got any representatives down there scouting talent?
I couldn't quite get you of that one, Kyle. You can say that again.
I said you mentioned about the CFL being down there as well as the NFL. Is any representatives from the new league down there scouting talent, the Alliance of American Football, AAF?
What's happened, the CFL this year don't have as many coaches down here because they're having a they're having some kind of meeting this week up in Canada involving all the coaches up there. And sometimes that coincides with the week of the Senior Bowl. What the Senior Bowl does is they always play the game the week after the conference championship in the NFL. So it's always the dead week, so to speak, the dead right. week in between the conference championship and the bowl and the Super Bowl. So even the Super Bowl team, they had representatives here watching the practices. There were, I was around some New England Patriots scouts, and same thing with the Los Angeles Rams. So, it's always a pretty. It's also a place where a lot of guys come looking for jobs. So it's kind of fun to watch. You can always tell the ones who have a job and who don't have a job.
How can you tell the difference?
A lot of networking, because the ones with the job are buying the drinks.
Okay. Well, hey, Terry, as you're a retired high school football teacher, social studies teacher and football coach. Is this something, maybe a new life for you where you got plenty of time on your hands? You'd be an excellent scout, don't you think, Kyle? I mean, the guy knows football.
Yeah, Terry, it was good. Yeah. Terry, were you looking for a job? Are you trying to become a scout?
Well, I've always in the market for doing things, and at this stage, I actually do help. I'm a facilitator. if there's a kid, I call them kids, of course, they're 20-year-olds from our area that are trying to get to the next level. And the ones that are falling through the cracks, so to speak, there's a lot of great players out there. And, a lot of them don't get the opportunity to go to the next level. But if I know some, or if people contact me about somebody, if I feel like they do have what it takes to get to the next. But anyway, I was talking about Coach Dyson, as far as being agents. They get, of course, kids from the SEC, and they've represented quite a few East Carolina players. I believe C.J. Wilson was one of their – I think they represented him, or maybe still do, actually. But I just try to help out a little bit, and I have actually talked to some guys about being a little more involved and maybe actually getting a paycheck one day. But right now, like I said, I'm just in business to help who I can and enjoy it myself. I'm not one to commit myself to something that I can't do put my full heart and passion into it. After retiring, it's hard to be. I may need to be committed, but as far as me committing,
we all do.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. But it's like even helping high school guys get to college. But if I tell you about a kid, if I tell you about a player, you can believe he's potentially, could play. Because I'm not gonna waste people's time over it. Because it's too big a business. And even at college, getting into college is a serious thing too. So you don't, there's no reason for people to waste each other's time.
You don't want people to waste your time, so why would you waste their time, right?
Well, that's true. Well, and everybody, at a certain point, thinks they can be the next whatever. But sometimes you have to realize that there's something else besides football.
Sometimes you can do it in your head, but actually physically doing it's a different story.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes you got to decide that you better have a plan B.
Yeah.
Sometimes even a plan C, life don't always go the way we want it to. So that's just the way it is. And then it's be the same thing here. Not everybody down here, not all the players will get drafted. Some will wind up as free agents, and some, even though they get drafted, they may not actually make it to the ball. There's no guarantee, even if you get signed, you're going to play.
Yeah, you know, you see a lot of guys don't get any further than, you know, mini camp or you know, maybe getting put on the field in an exhibition game, that's it. And then you never play anymore. That's what really surprised me when I asked you about the Alliance of American Football, if any of those coaches or representatives were there. I figured there would be. It does, you know, scout guys that the league misses. It's kind of shocking. I know they're getting ready for the start of their season. Their season is going to start the week after the Super Bowl.
Right.
But they're practicing in San Antonio.
Right.
Now, with those, most of those teams have already filled their rosters.
Yeah.
But yet, they will, after this week, there will be some maneuvering because some of these Alliance teams will wind up being like the farm clubs for different teams.
Yeah. Right.
I think, in a way, they're trying to actually create something like baseball has with the minor leagues.
Yeah, I think they are too, because. Yeah. Of what they're doing with their pay structure, everybody's making the same thing.
Right.
To me, that indicates that they have no desires or grandiose ideas of being a alternative to the NFL. I think everybody's making $75,000 a year, if I remember right.
Right.
So that sounds like, to me, potentially using it as a farm system.
Right, and they do actually, in Canada, there is a formal semi-pro type league that does feed to the CFL teams, and that's got a lot to do with trying to keep the CFL loaded with enough Canadian players that it doesn't get become just all Americans, because they do have limits as to the number of Americans that can play on each Canadian team. And so they try to, the majority of the Canadians playing in the Canadian Football League actually go to colleges in the United States.
Yeah.
And then they go back to Canada to play because here they maintain their citizenship and then they can play there. But and then also you got some arena football league, and that will be, you know, that's always a place that some of them will go. So,
that ain't what it used to be.
Oh, no.
That's something that I've been puzzled by, that you would think that with football being so, I don't understand with the AFL, I just don't understand why, and maybe you guys can help me, why that league has struggled. So, like,
the original AFL went bankrupt. In 2010, maybe?
They didn't even know that. Well, okay.
They
also, it's hard to find a season for.
Yeah.
That's what I've always thought. I always think people make a mistake by wanting to start up these leagues right after the football season's over. They want to start I think playing it in the spring through the summer is the answer, because that's when you're really getting hungry for football again.
And Terry, you remember when we were, Kyle, you remember we were talking to guys the other night with the 83 team, we were talking about the USFL, and I remember Terry, I know you're older, so I remember it being like 10, 11 years old when it started. But if they had stayed that spring league like they started, it was a brilliant, they had great cities. They had great players. They had a ton of talent. I mean, Herschel Walker, and they had Steve Young, and they had a whole bunch of guys. They had really good talent. They had really good mascots, really good coaches. The mistake they made, our current president, that was owner of the New York, New Jersey Generals, he wanted to fight the NFL and to go up head-to-head with them. If they had stayed, I swear, and we'll never know, But if they had stayed the spring league, I still believe to this day they would be in operation. I really do. We'll never know, but I just
and
USFL
he
also, was a cool league.
He was the one who came and paid Herschel the grandiose amount of money that he did.
Right.
And that was another thing because that forced the other team owners to start paying their players more. And then you get into the, you know, the amount of money you're spending, and once again, you go back to what Kyle's talking about, that people can't afford to keep doing it. You know, they go bankrupt.
That's what happened with the Arena League. Yeah, they start spending too much money. You know, they got that deal with NBC, and that was, you know, they tried to get too big. And another thing, I think the Arena League failed at, and I think the new Arena League is real small. They're, you know, there's not very many teams in it. But the original Arena League, there was too many markets that would come and go. They needed to have Charlotte Raleigh had a team for 5 minutes called the Carolina Cougars.
And I love that name. They had, yeah, I mean, that's
amazing. It was a cool mascot, a cool name. But what they needed to do was, when these teams came in the league, they needed to have some sort of agreement, not expand so often, not let anybody who wants a franchise have a franchise. And when you sign an agreement, when you start a franchise, you have to agree to keep them in that city for a minimum of 10 years.
Yes, thank you.
Because what they would do, what the Arena League would do, any millionaire that wanted to start a franchise, they'd let them, put them in the city 2 years later, franchise be dead, then somebody else would start a new franchise.
Yeah, it was hard to keep. That was another thing I was going to mention. The one thing that was, I'm glad you brought that up. That was very hard to keep up with. How can you have any kind of brand, speaking of brand loyalty, how can you have any kind of allegiance to a team when, like with the Carolina Cobras, for example, with the recent, try in the North Carolina market, and you have a team and all of a sudden they're here 1 minute and they're gone the next, they're in Raleigh, and then they don't like the lease with PNC Arena, so they move to Charlotte, and then, I mean, it's a huge mess. I agree with you 1,000%, Kyle.
Yeah, actually, that really wasn't recent, David. It might seem like, but that was way back in 2000.
And TV money is the big thing. And, you know, TV, even though it's so saturated now with college and professional, that there's just a lot of the networks. Even if you see ESPN had over extended themselves, and they've told them to do some cutbacks on some things. So there's a lot of factors involved with all that, but the bottom line is there's only one in all of sports, there's only one brand that goes by the name The League.
Yeah.
If you say The League, you're referring to the NFL.
Yes,
that's what they call themselves. If you hear players talking, former players, they'll never call it the NFL. They talk about playing in the league. And right. You know what they're talking about. And if people are telling you about they played in the NFL, they probably did. it's the league.
Speaking of pro leagues, and you know, Vince had the XFL.
He's bringing it back, baby.
He's bringing it back. Yeah, next year it's coming back. So I'd be interested to see if it has more success the second time around.
I wish he put some of that money into ECU.
Yeah, me too.
Well, maybe we can. Well, Terry, you're a great salesman. Why don't you go up there and go up to Connecticut and talk to him? Just knock on the door. You're a VIP. Just knock on the door.
Yeah, right.
Give us some damn money.
I'm not sure he would do that. I tell you this, what though, I do know of a guy that would love to be ECU's next head coach, who has actually talked about doing things like that, like you know, the head coach being the one to approach these people. These former ECU people that have money, and don't always give back. And just like what you said about the lady you asked about doing something, you don't know till you ask. And but it takes sometimes it takes the face of the company or the brand to do the talking to actually get action done. So you know, it's interesting you never know where something's gonna come from, and you just don't know where life's gonna take you. So anyway, you know, but getting back to this, you know, one thing I was surprised by our team there in the state goes by the name of the Wolfpack. Yeah, they had four players. They have four players down here at the Senior Bowl. And they've had, I think it was three last year and three or four the year before. They've been putting some players in the league, and they've got talent. But yet they seem to fall short every year of making it even to the they don't even win their division. So, you know, that coach loved to run it up on us when we were down. But if I were him, I would be more concerned about why I couldn't win championships with what I had. Because it seems to me like they're underachieving.
Oh, big time. Big time. When you think about, I mean, you look at North Carolina and NC State, they haven't won an ACC championship.
Right.
It's 1979 and 1980, respectively. It states almost 40 years, and almost 40 in Carolina was 1980. So it's almost 40 years they haven't won a conference championship in football.
UNC has nobody here this year, and UNC Charlotte has a player here, of all places. Alabama only has two players in it.
What in the world?
And well, that's because most of their talent this year were juniors, and there's actually five of them going into the NFL.
Okay.
They work heavily, but so it's Gary on one end thinking that they've done what they did this year with two guys. That's the same thing. Clemson only had two players here this year. They had the receiver and I think a defensive lineman playing in it this year. Overall, the SEC had the most players. They had, and they had 11 teams represented. They had 26 players. Next total, the ACC had the next highest number of players, and they had 10 teams represented. And NC State had the most of any of the ACC teams. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to look at who's got what.
How many players does the American have represented?
There's four down here, two from Temple, the running back from Memphis, and a corner defensive back from Houston.
Okay.
This is the least I've seen American have in several years. So that was kind of a surprise, actually, that there was only that many here. The Big Ten only has 10 players here this year. And Big 12 has 11. The Pac-8 has 15. But then, I was talking about earlier, you don't have to go to big schools. Well, there's a school called Washburn. Now, I'm not even sure where that one's at. But they have a player down here this year. Slippery Rock has a player. Elon has a player. He's a defensive. No, he's an offensive lineman. And the kid, I think he's. I think he represents. Let's see. He may be the 6'6". He's 6'6", 350 or so. From Elon, Alabama State has a big kid here. Western Illinois, Jacksonville State. Northern Colorado, then you have the South Dakota State has a guy, North Dakota State. Stetson has a 6'8", 245-pound tight end playing here.
What about that quarterback you were telling me about? That tall quarterback?
There's a quarterback from Buffalo who is
6'7".
Buffalo was really good this year. They
like them.
Right. They actually have two players. They got him and they've got I forget exactly what it is. Maybe an offensive lineman. But the quarterback, he throws well. He's a little bit, I don't think he's got, or when you're that tall, depending on where you play at, you sometimes can get away. You don't have to be as fundamentally sound because your athleticism, gives you such an advantage. But sitting in the pocket and throwing it, I think he's got to work on quite a bit. But as far as throwing the ball and running, he's very mobile for a big guy. Now, the other quarterback, there was 8 quarterbacks, 4 of each team, and what they do is play a quarter each game. Ryan Finley from North Carolina State, he's a big old boy. He's a tall kid, but he's not as mobile as I thought he might be. In fact, I think, too, he has some of the one thing they have all kind of measurements and things they go by now. One is hand size, the width of your hand for a quarterback. His hand, I think, was the smallest. Either him or Drew Locke from Missouri, who's also a big prospect. They have small hands, and supposedly that's not good for a quarterback. Gardner Minshew, who is playing here this weekend, he's only a shade under 6'2", but he's got the biggest hands of any of the quarterbacks down here. And he looked good throwing the ball. The accuracy of his deep balls, he's got to work on. But as far as being able to throw the deep outs, which is one of the big things they go by with a quarterback, is his ability to get the ball out there on the line and get it there quick. And he can do that. He can also take a snap under the center, which is, seems like a basic fundamental, right? But you know what? There's very few quarterbacks that go through college now that even take a snap from under the center at all. So they get down here.
I don't know where he would have.
Well, they get down here, and all of a sudden they're having to play under center, and they can't do it. That was one of the big shortcomings of Tim Tebow when he came through. I saw him down here that year, and he couldn't take a snap from under center. He fumbled nearly every time he got under center. And you got to be able to get under the center, but it's a fundamental. I believe we're going to see you doing that more now with Coach Houston there. But so it's Notre Dame has 3 players. But it's pretty much spread around as to who's wearing what. And as to who makes this game, it's pretty much decided by the NFL personnel people. And then they more or less say who they want to see in the game, and then the Senior Bowl director more or less makes the final decision on who's going to be in it. Our offensive lineman, Garrett, what is it, McGann? He was a big possibility, but then he played in an All-Star game two weekends ago. And I know he's training in Atlanta, and he's going to have a chance to go into the NFL. But he wasn't down here. But I do know that there's some teams interested, because I did talk to some scouts of some teams. And, of course, when I talk to people, I do mention people like him. make sure they are aware of such people. And So, you know, it's a good opportunity too. You get down here. That's how I got to be friends with Chris Jones, who you know, coached at Saskatchewan, was general manager. He's, by the way, he's gotten a job with the Cleveland Browns now, and he's going to be the coordinator of the defensive coordinator. If that makes sense, he's going to be Freddie Kitchens' assistant head coach at Cleveland. He and Freddie Kitchens have a connection going back to Alabama when Coach Jones was a coach there at one time when Freddie Kitchens was a player. And so Chris had just signed an extension with Saskatchewan, but then when this opportunity came, he told him he needed to take it because he'd been trying to get into the NFL anyway. And you got to get your foot in the door. Somehow he did. So he's now with the Cleveland Browns. So, but then Kevin Claybrook, our former Pirate, is now the head coach at British Columbia, and I had talked with him, and he's the one who let me know that they weren't going to be there because he had some other obligations this time. But so I get to see and I get to meet different people, get to just, it's fun to watch. I like to watch people, and you can kind of get an idea about their personality and to see which coaches I would want to play for, which ones I wouldn't, that sort of thing. And you can tell where some of them think they're a little bit smarter than everybody else in the world. And So it's, then you also find out that some of them are really nice people and you hate to see them get fired. So that also happens in the business of coaching. You either been fired or you're going to get fired. That's pretty much what we say. So it's, you know, it's a fun week, but not everybody would think that except me probably. So.
How's Lad's people stadium looking these days? Has South Alabama done any renovations to it now that they're playing in it on a regular basis?
Yeah, what? It rained hard on Wednesday. And so South Alabama now has a indoor practice field, which is just top first class. And so that's where they went and practiced on Wednesday, was inside their practice facility. It wasn't not everybody could attend that practice. It's not like it is at, when it's at open stadium where it's pretty much open to the public. But, yeah, it was tough. But the stadium they play in, Bo Bill, you know, hosts two bowl games each year.
Yeah.
So they've got a first-class stadium. Land People's Stadium, where the game will be played tomorrow. It's a great field, just a really nice stadium. Anyway, so, you know, and another reason I like coming down here, of course, is Mobile's one of those historic coastal towns, so it's a neat place to just go see things and be around stuff, and then you can't beat eating the seafood down here.
How's the scene on Dauphin Street?
Oh, it's everything from, you know, the high-class executives to the bikers coming in with their motorcycles. So, and some of the places, it's all together as one. You know, so it's typical, you know, and there is big money down here, but then there's also just the average working, a lot of shipyards.
Yeah,
build a lot of stuff for the Navy and stuff like that. It's a pretty big port town, so you do have the blue collar people too. So it's just as neat. You're the most in the obligation there.
Yeah, it sounds like a cool place. When we used to go out and play two ball games down there, and I was 19 and 21 when those two ball games were closed, unfortunately. I was not financially stable to go. But you know, maybe in the future would like to make it down to Mobile. I picture it being a similar city to Wilmington. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah, well, Wilmington's more, you know, it's got the river. It's a little more like Savannah.
Right.
With the river. Mobile's on the bay, so it's a little more closer. It's a little closer to the wide open water areas. And there is a couple of tunnels you can drive through. And I'm not a big fan of bridges and tunnels and things like that. So it's not good to live around a place like this if you don't like bridges and tunnels. So.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. If you don't like bridges and tunnels, you need to stay away from a place with a lot of water.
Thanks for
joining us here on the Sports Objective again, and love to see how things are going down to Mobile in the Senior Bowl.
Like I said, I love doing it. I started doing it several years back after I retired, and a former ECU Pirate was the CEO for the Senior Bowl for quite a few years, Steve Hale, who played defensive back at ECU.
And, oh, cool.
So that's how I got started coming down here, and I got to know the lady who runs the downtown hotel, Hampton Inn, and it's all NFL people there now. But she gets me a place, and she takes care of me every year, and don't ever be nice to people. Be nice to people, because you never know when those people might be able to help you out a little bit.
You hear that call?
Oh, I'm not saying my David until it pissed me off.
I'm just messing with
you. Nice people.
I'm sorry, Kyle. I don't want to hurt your persona. So.
Yeah.
There you go. So anyway, I appreciate that. I love that, you know, I love talking about it, and I enjoy being on the show with you guys. I miss Bubba not being here. Wish he was here, but I understand that some people actually have real jobs.
Work for a living, right? Exactly. I know he's going to miss it too. He worked really hard on some notes, but I know that he's in spirit, and he knows a lot about football too. And we'll be watching tomorrow at 2:30 on the NFL Network. The Senior Bowl. Cannot wait, Terry. And thanks again, man. Appreciate it. And don't be a stranger. You know you're always welcome. You're a member of the Sports Objective, so you're always welcome here.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.